The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. This is one of those shows that I really, really like because we're going to get deep into a couple things that have nothing at all to do with the Super Bowl, nothing at all to do with the big game that's already done. A little bit into the Cardinals quarterback, though we spent quite a bit of time on that yesterday. We'll circle back around on that. People still interested and will be for quite some time. But on today's show, we're going to have Scott Bordeaux with us. Scott will join us from Los Angeles. He is with the Suns. For the Suns, meaning the Lakers tonight. Y'all remember there was a time where the Suns-Lakers was the biggest thing going here in the Valley. But of course, when you don't have a playoff game since May 27th of 2010, it becomes just an afterthought. Although I do have some different spins on this now. So Scott is going to be with us. The trade deadline for the Suns is coming up. And Scott had a story last week where Ryan McDonough, the general manager of the Suns, who's a nice enough guy, but when he comes out and says things like we're going to accelerate the timeline, and the timeline has brought absolutely zero, zip, nothing. And when you have Marquese Chriss getting suspended, and I've said get Marquese Chriss out of here, well, he's wonderfully talented. Oh, he has great big fat dunks. So what? And you have Dragan Bender that some days is good and other days is not. And Alex Len has just been Alex Len. And at some point, Devin Booker's people are going to say to the people of the Suns, we are not going to re-sign here. So get us out of here. That's happening. That's going to happen. If it hasn't happened yet publicly, it will happen. So we're going to do things around the Suns with Scott from L.A. before tonight's game against the Lakers. It's a deep dive story that many of you would hear on the surface that community colleges are eliminating football here in Maricopa County. And you might say, well, that's really too bad. What's the weather going to be like tomorrow? I don't know. It's going to be the same as today and next week and the week after. It's just where we live. Eliminating football at any level comes at a cost. But I kind of look at this from a business side because that's what I do. And the whole idea of eliminating a sport, I never want to see it, but I've got some thoughts on the community college system eliminating football right here in the Valley and why I see both sides on this. Ralph Amston is going to be with us. Ralph is Arizona Varsity's publisher and a good friend of the show. And Ralph's just very, very talented. I would just tell you straight up, I would hire Ralph. I would have Ralph on the site. But I've told Ralph this. I can't afford the fees of the attorneys for the stories that he has. It's really unfortunate. Garrick, if we had Ralph come on this show, you've talked to Ralph a lot. You were just on his show this last week. We would have legal coming at us often, wouldn't we? I mean, wouldn't you think with some of the stuff that Ralph wants to go do? Because he's got some juice, man.
He's got some things he would love to share.
Yeah.
But like you said, legally he might be, I don't know, tiptoeing up to the line.
Oh no, he's crossed the line a couple times.
On some certain things. No, on Twitter, I mean, he gets into it pretty much every day with someone.
He's talented though. I mean, he's
extremely,
really
extremely
really
great
good.
Great reporter, one of the best reporters I've ever met, actually.
And here's the thing on him. His background, he just started doing this while he was teaching.
Uh-huh.
And he's got a great gift. And I've talked to him. He sent me some story ideas. It's like, okay, this looks good. And then you go down the treatment. You know, here's the idea. Here's how we would treat it. And you get about halfway down. It's like, okay, this would be hours of attorney work right here, which would be great. Which would be great. But
just not for us.
Well, not yet. Not yet. I can't afford the attorney side. It's not I'm not shying away from some of the things he wants to do, other than legally I can't get us all wrapped up in stuff. I just can't. So, but I'm looking forward to having Ralph. I'm glad that he's showing up on the show sheet today. Let's get you caught up. Some things on my mind in the world of sports, brought to you by Sagicor. Sagicor now, guys, here's the deal. I can tell you this every day, and I do. But you need life insurance for your family. If something were to happen to you today, do you have everything protected? It's not that hard. Just log on to Sagicor now. Sagicor now, get your free quote. Look at your situation, where you are in life. Life changes in a hurry. And Sagicor now can help you through those changes with your life insurance. Just log on to Sagicor now. All right, so the Suns are looking at the Lakers tonight, and on the surface, it's a who cares game with the standings and the whole idea of beat LA, and not many people are going to stay up till 11 o'clock tonight to watch this, unfortunately. It's just where the Suns have plummeted to. There was a time where this would be the only game going that people would circle and the sports bars would be packed and people would be ready to see LA and the Suns. Because the Suns are where they are, there just isn't that buzz, but they want to get there eventually. The trade deadline is coming up. Trade deadline is right around the corner. And what will the Suns do? What should the Suns do? How should the Suns try to get off of their 7-8 years slide? It'll be 8 years of them missing the playoffs. And I'm at the point where I would shut Devin Booker down just like I did Eric Bledsoe last year. The difference is you're not trading Devin Booker. Now, Devin Booker may not like it, but you've got to take your key assets and make sure that they're fresh. So, yeah, I'm serious. Sitting here the first week of February, yeah, I know there's still 2 months to go in the season. But the more games you lose, the better chance you have of getting Marvin Bagley or DeAndre Ayton. Personally, I would take DeAndre Ayton. On the surface, if you get DeAndre Ayton and you put him alongside the other parts of this team with the cap space that they have and the ability to go find free agents, I know you're probably looking at me saying, Brad, are you hearing yourself? You've been banging on the Suns for the last 8 years. Yeah, I have. So what makes me think they're going to figure it out now? When Ryan McDonough says we're going to accelerate the timeline, I feel bad for you poor fans. I mean, that means what that says to me is we know we suck. We know that we've gone out and just blown for years and years and taken people's money. Maybe we should try to start being really good. And then I write the decade of decline because that's what it's been. And I don't think they're going to make the playoffs for 10 years. And you can just see it on the cusp. Like you can just see it. You know what? If you have Booker and you have Josh Jackson and you stink just enough and DeAndre Ayton comes here and you look at the free agent class of 2019, Kawhi Leonard and Klay Thompson and Jimmy Butler, you look at those players and you say, you know, they would have the ability to do something. You look at how bad the point guard play has been this year. Tyler Ulis has regressed. There's no other way to put it. And so last year when I'm on this rant about go get me Lonzo Ball, and I'm going to solve things. And Lonzo's had an up and down freshman year, first year in the NBA. Okay, yeah, I got it. And for those of you that didn't like him, you want to remind me that he's not been great this year in consistent stretches. There's moments where he's been flashy and has been spectacular. The dad has been what we expected the dad to be, a total nightmare. But I'd rather have Lonzo Ball here than Josh Jackson. I can't help the fact that the Suns didn't stink enough last year, that somehow they figured out a way to win 5 or 8 games that they just should have flat lost and tanked. And if you don't think that happens in sports, you're not watching sports.
The good news is, Brad,
yeah,
there are some really nice free agents that will be out there in the next couple years, as you mentioned. The bad news is this isn't the
destination.
This is no longer the destination. This is not the Jerry Colangelo led Suns where high value star free agents actually not want to not just visit the team but actually sign with the team.
Well, this July, LeBron's going to be a free agent.
He's not coming.
Paul George is going to be a free agent.
He's not coming.
DeMarcus Cousins is going to be a free agent, and because of his injury, Now, you know, I was not big on him at Sacramento, but
Right. Maybe
he started to grow up a little bit with Alvin Gentry around him. You put DeMarcus Cousins, you know, TJ Warren's been very good here. But at some point, do you give Josh Jackson and you give Devin Booker and you get a big inside like an Ayton, or you go the free agent route? You can see it. That's the frustrating part. You can actually see, okay, there's a little bit of something here.
You can, but it's still pie in the sky until they actually land one of these big free agents.
Oh, I agree.
I can go up to a dry erase board and put down our dream lineup for the Suns, but until it actually happens, those things are just a dream. And the Suns have 18 wins, and we're nearing the middle of February.
We'd rather them have about 8. So when this season started, right?
Yep.
And they blow Bledsoe out and they fire their coach and everything gets turned upside down again. Everything gets turned upside down again. You should have just taken the approach in late November. We're going to shut guys down. We're going to manage minutes. And if you don't like it, tough. Devin, you're going to play 20 minutes a game. You're not going to play 30. We're going to be just good enough to put a product out on the court. We're going to explain to the fans. We're going to give some guys some experience. But they haven't explained it. All they've given is this goofy timeline thing, which I don't know. Hey, look, just keep watching us and someday we're going to be good. Just keep tuning in every day or come to our website every day and someday we're going to be good. You know, Eric, I think we should try to accelerate being good. You know, this restaurant over here, we're going to open this restaurant and we're just going to serve bad food day after day. But you know what? Let's accelerate the timeline so we start serving good food at some point. You know, does this make any sense at all? And the person that has got this going is Ryan McDonough. Robert, you know, we've got to have a timeline. We have to embrace the time. We're going to get our social media staff. We're going to get those people that really love the Suns. And we're going to get all of them to embrace the timeline. That this is all going to work out for the better for us. That we'll be Golden State. We're going to be set up for a long run of success. And so we start seeing this stuff on social media. The timeline, the timeline, the timeline. And all the timeline is it protects Ryan McDonough from getting fired. That's it. So they can bring in players that aren't very good. So they can have guys here that don't work out. So they can have guys come here that they hang on to longer than they should. Eric Bledsoe should have been gone 2 years ago. Instead, these guys messed around. Whoa, you know, Bled this. You know, the announcers are calling him by his nickname. All the stuff that's just trying to embrace somebody who didn't want to be here. Oh, but he's a really good guy. Are you hearing yourselves? Are you about winning or not? We're 21 days till the combine, which I think is kind of interesting. The baseball collusion that is going on right now, we're a week away from spring training, and J.D. Martinez still doesn't have a home. Neither is Jake Arrieta. You tell me, is there something going on with owners towards agents? I find this just fascinating. And the players' union is talking in terms, some of the players, I shouldn't say the players' union, some of the players are intimating that maybe it's best if there is some sort of protest, stoppage, something here in spring training. So there's that. And then Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy's going to announce tomorrow morning. He's actually going to have an announcement right here tomorrow morning. The quarterback from Perry High is down between Texas A&M and Iowa State. So we'll have that with Brock. And that'll be tomorrow. And we'll get into that a little bit later on as to where I think he's leaning and all that stuff. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, let's turn our attention now, as promised, to the heroes of the hardwood here in Arizona, the Phoenix Suns. They are 18-36. They are allowing 112 points per game. They have not had a playoff game since May 27th of 2010. All that adds up to my disgust and displeasure with them over the last several years. I was very pleased when Scott Bordeaux was given the beat to take over because Scott is very thorough. Scott is very good. Scott is very, I think, fair in his criticisms and his opinions. We have left Scott alone because he deserves hazard pay for watching this garbage every night. We are hopeful that this thing is headed in the right direction, though we're doubting it, even though the general manager says, hey, we're going to speed the timeline up. What a great idea. All the sarcasm aside now, Scott joins us from L.A. where the Suns are playing the Lakers, which back in the day, if the Suns were playing the Lakers, everything would stop. Tonight, it's just another game to fill out the schedule in February. How are you handling this new assignment for you this year, Scott?
Well, you know, Brad, you know, you've been around long enough to know that coaches and players look forward to the All-Star break, getting a few days off. doing this for the first year, I can say the media is too. I'm kind of looking forward to the All-Star break and, you know, recharging a little bit. I've hit a wall the last week or so. It's been a long season, to say the least.
Yeah. I think they hit a wall about 5 years ago, but that's just me.
Yeah, I think it's been, for Suns fans, it's been a really bad 7 years, hasn't it?
Okay, so let me just start on this premise. When you took over the beat, what were you expecting and what have you ended up getting?
Well, I didn't expect the coach to be fired and the point guard to be traded within the first week of the season. I can tell you that much. I'm not sure anybody, somebody commented to me, I don't know if anybody who's gotten a beat, a first-year beat, has had to deal with that in the first week. It's been a crazy season. I mean, nobody expected Earl Watson to go. I mean, Derek Bledsoe, the tweet and everything that, you know, happened after that was a complete surprise. So since then, Brad, I mean, it's just been watching a not really good basketball team and a very young basketball team try to grow up. And they've had some good moments, but they've had far more than their share of bad moments. But really, is that surprising? Mm-hmm. I mean, nobody expected this team to win more than, you know, 20-something games this year. And then when you trade, you know, Eric Bledsoe, you know, and Devin Booker's out for, this will be the 11th game tonight. What can you expect from the Suns?
Okay, so on the ownership management side, I understand you have a beat. You've got to be there every day, and you need to talk to these guys. But I also know you well enough that if something's not right, you're willing to point it out. Last week when Ryan McDonough, you got him, I think, in Houston, I could be wrong on this, saying that they're going to accelerate the timeline, correct?
Yeah, I got him actually in Phoenix when I talked to him.
Okay. And in the whole idea, so this is just my opinion. The timeline is one of the biggest bogus mysteries to me in the history of Phoenix sports. How a guy can sit there and convince his owner, we just have to have a timeline of when we're going to be good. And so we're willing to put out a product that hasn't had a playoff game since May 27th of 2010. And we're just going to say, well, we've got this timeline that we're going to stick to, but well, wait a minute, maybe we should speed things up a little bit. So I'm not big on this timeline. I never have been. I think it bulletproofs Ryan McDonough from the owner, as long as he can convince him, hey, you know, don't mess with the timeline here. Where are you at on this timeline thing? And did McDonough's announcement come to you as a bit of a surprise?
Well, I mean, the timeline's a cute nickname. It's kind of like the process in Philadelphia. It gives fans something to hang, you know, hang their hat on. But I actually don't mind the idea. I mean, Brad, you and I both know this franchise for years tried to rebuild and be competitive at the same time. And you can't do that in the NBA. What it gives you is a bunch of 41-41 records, an eighth seed in the playoff, you lose in the first round and don't get a good draft choice.
Right.
And if you ever want to win an NBA championship, you can't do it that way. So I have no problem with the Suns deciding we're going to tear down, go really young, and be really bad for a couple years with the idea of if we can draft right, and then maybe hit on free agency, we can build something here that's sustainable for a 5 to 7 year run. I think that's the right thing to do, whether you want to call it the timeline, whatever. In terms of accelerating it, I also don't mind that, to be honest with you. I think Ryan McDonough made a persuasive point. You know, you have Devin Booker, who's now an all-star caliber player. You have T.J. Warren, who is now a proven legitimate 20-point scorer in this league. Josh Jackson, you've seen in the last few games, can be something special. He's got a ways to go, but he can be. So you've got some parts in place. I think at this point, when you're going to have $22 million approximately in cap space over the summer for free agency, you just can't sit there on your money and ask fans to wait another year. I think it goes back to your point. I mean, they haven't been in the playoffs. This will be the eighth straight season. You have all this money. You have some parts in place. Go spend it. Now, don't spend it, you know, unwisely, but if there's a guy that can come in and help you that's an established player, go spend the money to get him.
Okay, and to that I would say there's a reason why it's coming up on 8 years. And I'm calling this the decade of decline. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs in 10 years. I think it's going to go a 10-year run here, which, you know, anything longer than 3 or 4, and you and I would probably agree if we're sitting there together at a restaurant having a beverage, that you and I saw it completely different through the lens of somebody who would never accept this type of nonsense in Jerry. So,
right.
So while on the surface, what you say makes sense, it's the fact that this organization and this group and this owner and even the general manager have had so many missteps and mistakes and players that acted out or players that didn't want to be here who put on a friendly face. And I would say Eric Bledsoe definitely didn't want to be here the last 2 years, in my humble opinion. And so it sounds good, but why should I trust these guys to figure it out when they haven't figured it out for as long a period of time?
I mean, yeah, they haven't earned your trust. I mean, when you miss the playoffs, this will be 8 straight seasons, they absolutely have not earned your trust. But what choice do you have at this point? You can either throw up your hands and say, I'm not going to be a Suns fan anymore and not going to go to games and not support them and not watch them or read about them. Or you can say, I'm going to just hope that this works. What other choice do you have? I mean, you can't change the owner. The owner has given the GM a 3-year contract extension, so your two choices are to give up completely or hope that they finally get it right.
And you and I both know this, that the numbers show, I'm sure in your readership, it's not what it once was, not even close. I know on the TV side, it's not even close what it used to be.
It's funny because we are actually getting a lot of eyeballs on our Suns coverage because now, you know, because every time you post a story, somebody in Saskatchewan can see it. So it's a little bit different than, you know, back in 92, 93 when the paper was the only newspaper and, you know, TV was the only way to really get the word out. So, yeah, the eyeballs are there, but you're right. The interest in the Suns locally is not what it once was. I think apathetic would probably be the right word at this point.
Yeah, the MVP of the team is Al McCoy. Seriously, he's the voice that is telling them why they should even pay attention. And without Al doing Al's the MVP this year because in the last 7 years of this thing, because I can hear all day long about Devin Booker being good. You know, and I know when he becomes a free agent. And if you want to disagree with me, it's fine. But when he becomes a free agent, he's out of here. That's just how
but he's
it's
not,
become.
I mean, but it's not. He's going to sign. I mean, unless something dramatically has changed, I don't think it has. They're going to offer him a 5-year, $156 million contract extension this summer. And he's going to sign it. He has gone on record with me back in October saying if that extension is offered, he'll sign it.
All right.
So, you know, no 21-year-old is going to turn down $156 million.
But he could get less than that in a better situation, couldn't he, Scott? He can take less than that in a much better situation than this.
But you also know, Brad, you're still 2 years away, and you never know what could happen to your body. I mean, that's just a lot of money to give up. And plus, he has said several times to me, Brad, that he wants to be the face of the franchise. He wants to be here and do what Kobe did for L.A., what Michael did for Chicago. Now, does that ever happen? Probably not. You know, those two are two of the 10 greatest players of all time. But he has that confidence in himself and his belief that he can turn the Suns into something again. He's bought a home here. He really wants to be here, and they're going to give him $156 million. He's not turning it down. So he's going to be here the next six seasons.
Okay, who's going to be the coach then for him?
That's a really good question. A month ago, I would have told you I thought Jay Triano had a really good shot. I think he still has a shot, but as poorly as they're playing right now and as bad as some of these losses have been, I don't know if that has diminished his chances. I think it's incumbent for the Suns to at least go out and interview other people. You know, that's the mistake they made when they hired Earl Watson. They didn't go out and talk to other candidates. I think you have to go out and talk to David Fizdale. You have to go out and talk to Monty Williams. You have to go out to four or five guys and just see what's out there. And then if you want to come back and hire Jay Triano, fine. He's got a very good working relationship with Ryan. The players respect him. They play hard for him, although it sometimes doesn't show in the box score. Mm-hmm. That would be fine, but I think you have to go out and interview some other candidates.
Jason Kidd?
No. Given everything I've read about Jason Kidd's time of walking out, he clashed with management and wanted more autonomy in making decisions. That would be a terrible fit here.
The idea of the rest of this roster, okay? Rest of this roster, what does it look like from your point of view with the trade deadline coming up? Who stays, who goes?
Well, I think the only three guys that possibly could be traded are Tyson Chandler, Alex Len, and Troy Daniels. I mean, really, you're not going to trade any of your young guys that you said are part of your timeline and you've invested in. So, you know, Chandler, the Suns would love to kind of unload his $13 million contract for next season and give them more cap space, but there's not a huge market, Brad, for 35-year-olds that aren't franchise changers anymore or game changers. And then double that, the Suns don't want to take any salary back. They want either an expiring contract or a young established player, and it's going to be difficult to get that for Tyson Chandler. So I think it's going to be hard to move him. You know, Alex Len will be an unrestricted free agent. He has to approve any deal. I mean, I would think if Oklahoma City wants Alex Len, he would approve the deal. But really, what are you getting for Alex Len at this point? Are you getting a first-round pick? And
right. Beyond
that, do you need more first-round picks? I mean, how many can you accumulate before they just become wasted space? And then Troy Daniels, I mean, you can make a case that they should trade him. Shooting is the number one, you know, thing you have to have in the NBA, and he can shoot the basketball. But the Suns can also make an argument that they should keep him. He's $3.2 million contract for next season, so why not hold on to him? So anything they do, Brad, at this point, I think will be minor, based on my conversations with Ryan. And the other thing you have to realize, they don't want to go out and trade for, say, a Marcus Smart. if they think they're going to be in position to draft a Luka Doncic or Trae Young and have those guys on a rookie contract as opposed to a Marcus Smart, who's a restricted free agent you might have to give $60 million to. So because they're going to have maybe a top three, a top two, maybe even the top pick, I think they're really reluctant to go out and get a guy they're going to have to pay a lot of money to this summer.
Okay, before you get out of here, just my view, shut Devin Booker down now. Go lose. Just keep losing. This 112 points per game they're allowing, keep it up. Make it 115. Because winning any game now does nothing for them. And I want DeAndre Ayton here, Scott. I want DeAndre Ayton here. I'll take Marvin Bagley, but I'd want DeAndre Ayton. And if you're gonna be really bad and go through this, then just go be bad and go through this. Don't try to win games that cost you a position in the draft. It's ridiculous that it's gotten to this point. That's all.
Well, I think I wrote this the other day. I think it'd probably be wise for them to at least shut Devin Booker down through the All-Star break. He's just beat up between the rib contusion and now the hip pointer. You've got 5 games left before the All-Star break. Just sit him down for 3 weeks. Let him get healthy. But I don't think you need to sit him down because they're not winning games with him right now. You don't have to try to tank. You're just tanking because you're bad. I don't know if you have to sit him down. And by the way, if they do get the number one pick, my guess is they would take Doncic at this point. I know they love him, the kid from Europe, who's supposed to be the best prospect ever to come out of Europe. And he and a backcourt of he and Booker would be really intriguing. But you can see how Ayton would fit into this basketball team really well. They need a 5 long term.
Yeah. Stay well. Hey, you sound optimistic about this. So I appreciate you talking me off the ledge. Thanks.
Anytime, Brad. I'm glad I can bring you off the cliff.
Yeah. Talk me down. There's Scott Bordeaux from Los Angeles, Suns Lakers tonight. Ralph Amston is next, Arizona Varsity publisher, good friend of the show, on community college football being shut down here in Arizona. It's a pretty big story to these football kids. I'll explain why next. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, so yesterday afternoon, I was coming out of a lunch meeting with Jordan Hamm. We were out visiting with some potential clients and talking to some people on the business side. Jordan opened up his phone, and there was a tweet there from Ralph Amston, Arizona Varsity publisher and good friend of the show. If you haven't followed Ralph, he's somebody that you should put down as your must-follow list. Covers high school, covers college, covers a lot of stuff. He's a deep dive guy. I said it earlier on the show with Eric. If I had a good legal department, I would hire Ralph, or at least offer to hire him, because he has stories that are really, really strong. But I know that I would be getting people running after me to say, please stop doing this. That's kind of wimpy, I guess, Ralph, on my part. Ralph wrote yesterday that the community college football programs in Maricopa County are going to be going away at the end of this year. This is very unfortunate. I'm a community college guy. Jason Jewell, who works for us, he works over on the offensive side of the football at Glendale CC and is on their staff. This impacts a lot of players. Anytime you're taking away opportunities, it's not a good thing. So I figured let's have Ralph come on and explain exactly what happened yesterday and what this means going forward. I've made a couple calls too, so I may chime in, but he's the smartest guy in the room, as is usually the case on this show. Here's Ralph. How are you?
I'm good, Brad. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
No worries. Okay, so fill everybody in, the backstory to community college football going away here in the Valley.
You have to go back to 2012 when the president at the time ordered that basically every process of all of MCCCD's departments be reviewed, one of which was athletics. So they put together this athletic task force, not back in 2012, but probably closer to 2016. And ultimately, the suggestion of that task force was to completely cut football due to what they said at the time was the fact that it was 1/5 of the athletic budget and over 50% of their insurance costs. There was a little bit of outrage and pushback to that story breaking at the time. And so throughout 2017, this was probably spring 2017, late spring, they had said, you know, if we are going to phase out football, we'll probably do it in stages. It's not going to be this year. And we're going to look at all options available. And they also said this is just a recommendation. It doesn't mean that we're going to cut football. As early as November, they had come out with a statement saying that football was safe for now. I mean, I don't think they had any qualifiers on it. They just said football was safe. And then here we are. It was 2 days before signing day when these junior colleges were, you know, supposed to get commitments from mostly local Arizona kids, that they just dropped the hammer, that ultimately they were looking at all of the potential options for what they could do in the face of rising insurance costs, in the face of the budget being one-fifth dedicated to football, mm-hmm. and then taking into consideration stadium maintenance and refurbishing costs, and said it's better if we just get rid of it altogether. And so they started to reach out to the coaches yesterday to give them the information, which is when I got the information and put it out. And the reaction's been about 95% negative as far as that decision.
And they're football people that are negative. These are not people on the academic side or the administration side that are saying this is a bad thing, right? It's primarily football people that are against this.
Anybody that's had any junior college athletic experience seems to be pretty devastated by this news, mm-hmm. Especially if they're somebody who junior college has provided an extra opportunity to that they might not have had in the first place. Junior college guys going on to play in the NFL, you know, I think that's kind of the exception to the rule. What MCCCD is looking at is the fact that athletes are that comparatively to other athletes and other students, the GPA is lower, course completion's not as high. And then, you know, they're having issues with athletes defaulting on student loans, the ones that do take out loans. And so they've all sort of just put it in a big pot to say, here are all the reasons. You have to just go ahead and digest this now. The one in glaring inconsistency in all this is they had said last year, last May, when I talked to them, that this has nothing to do with the state's budget issues. Yet they made it very clear yesterday, citing repeatedly that this has everything to do with the state's budget issues. And so I think that's an important question to clarify just how much of what the state was ultimately funding before all of it was cut when it comes to athletics.
Okay, so this is, we're talking about Glendale Community College, Scottsdale Community College, Mesa Community College. Nothing else.
Phoenix College.
Phoenix College.
Well.
I'm sorry, and Phoenix College. So just the four here in Maricopa County. This is not Pima. This is not Arizona Western. This is just something that's being done here in Maricopa County. I've had people send me notes as to why not around the rest of the state.
Well, the rest of the state, you know, as far as Pima, you know, they have the one football program that they have to worry about. And so insurance costs aren't necessarily going to be as high. Eastern is in Thatcher. Arizona Western is in Yuma. And then the other team that's part of the Western States Football League that's going to be affected by this is Snow College in Utah. All of these teams play each other as part of their regular schedule. And so the teams that aren't canceling football have to figure out what they're going to do beyond 2018 as far as scheduling each other. The California schools aren't part of the National Junior College Association, and so they can't, you know, Arizona Western can't just jump over and join them. So, you know, they really have some things to figure out for what goes on in 2019 and beyond.
Yeah, and Snow could end up going to play JUCOs in Kansas, from my view. Western has sent off several players, Bryce Perkins most recently, off to Virginia. It's good options. It's good options for these kids. Let me flip this around on you, Ralph, and this is what I was told last night by people that have an academic and athletic tie to the community college. And first, I'll say right up, I was a JUCO guy. I went to a community college. I know the impact and the positivity of it. Aaron Rodgers is thrown out there as a guy who went to Butte Community College, DeMarcus Ware. There's players you can point to with junior college experience, and then it's great. I'm not denying that. Oh, you're going to get bombed by your kids, right? Do I hear them? Do I hear your kids?
Oh, yeah, yeah. My kids are all of it. They want to discuss the junior college issues.
Oh, that's awesome. That's what I love about this.
Future JUCO products.
The cost, let's go right down what I was told. So Arizona State now has over 100,000 students. Grand Canyon University has almost 30,000 students. Arizona Christian, Ottawa University. So the number of kids just going to community colleges, not just football players, but the number of kids going to community college is now starting to go away. So they don't have near the depth of reach of getting people to come in on board on this.
Well, here's the deal. Because other colleges like Ottawa and Benedictine and things are springing up, enrollment ultimately has leveled off.
Right.
And that's something that they gave as a reason for why they're going to dump these programs altogether, is that added enrollment and the growth actually helped support offsetting the increasing insurance costs. So what you're seeing now is people will have to spend, if they do want those opportunities, they're going to have to spend a lot more money. Ottawa and Arizona Christian are private. You know, GCU is a fantastic school, but it's definitely more expensive than going and getting credits at a place like MCC.
You want to go handle that one, Ralph?
I will.
Go handle that one. Yeah, it's fine. I told Ralph during the break, I said, hey, if you get bombed by your kids, this is good stuff. We love this. This is live. This is what we want. Eric, this is beautiful. Keep this going. We want Ralph to get in and discipline kids and handle it. Ralph Amzin's with us, Arizona Varsity publisher, good friend of the show, on his thoughts on yesterday's news. I'm sorry, this is just too much fun. About yesterday's junior college football news in the Valley and it being shut down. We have the empty chair with Ralph. You want to take a break? We'll come back to Ralph. No, here comes Ralph. All right, Ralph's coming back. All right, good. I filled just enough. So the point of the enrollment is less students, okay? Your point is, there's less money coming in. My understanding is the budget that these community colleges have to work with here, the four of them, is around $220,000 per school. Is that what you're hearing?
Right. Yes.
Okay, so $220,000, when in reality it should be, and that's $220,000 for transportation, for pads, for helmets, for everything. Who goes to these games? I'm not demeaning community college, but if you charge $5 at a gate and there's 50 people that show up to watch their sons play, which is about right, 50 to 100 people, where is the revenue to support football? I am not saying they should be doing this. But I'm giving the other side of the street where they're saying, how do we make this sustainable?
I absolutely agree. Now, it's a very emotional issue, and people are saying you're taking away an opportunity for us, and you're kind of ignoring the perspective of, well, you gave us this opportunity in the first place. It was always a privilege. I believe that only 61 of the total junior colleges in the country support football, and we're talking over 500-600 junior colleges nationwide. This is something that was a privilege, and I mean, it would be great if they could sustain it. My biggest concern is that not all options were considered. A joint team with Phoenix and Glendale.
Correct.
A joint team with Mesa and Scottsdale.
Yep.
Or using one stadium. If they can't afford stadium maintenance at all four, find a centralized location.
Yep.
You guys had written about that story of the facility that's going up. The AIA might be using, you know, that could have possibly been an option. There are ways to go about this that I'm afraid that the MCCCD did not consider.
Okay. And to that point, I was told last night on this one, and this again was from an administrator of a community college that does have football here in the Valley. This is merely being put out there now. There is time to find a resolution. This was not, as it was announced yesterday, and I'm sure coaches are like, what are you talking about? I just lost my recruiting class for this year. I got the vibe last night, Ralph, that there is room for dialogue, discussion, to debate, to try to figure some things out on this, that it's not the death blow. Are you hearing the same thing?
I've heard similar theories that this whole thing was put out sort of as a plot to stoke emotions, because otherwise, why do it so close to signing day?
Right.
Last night was an absolute mess of Kansas junior college coaches reaching out and trying to disturb and dissemble all of the recruiting classes for the state of Arizona's junior colleges, including ones that aren't wrapped up in what MCCCD's decision was. And so I think you're stoking what turned into a very large fire with the gasoline added of signing day, mm-hmm. In that maybe they're depending on some of these emotions fueling some type of compromise that involves funding or potentially, you know, coaches coming together and saying, look, if it means all of us losing our jobs, maybe we combine a staff or two and try to save at least some of the Maricopa County junior college football scene.
Yeah, that's good stuff. How do you think this ends up?
Well, I look at the dwindling funding for Arizona junior colleges. I look at I think the turning tide as far as attitudes about football, and I would say that if resurrected, if saved, there's a potential that unless some other peripheral issues are addressed, it's only temporary. And so any fix has to be more than just triage when it comes to this. And I'm afraid with the way that this news was released and people's reactions to it and the emotions that are involved, it's going to be very, very tough to make some of the decisions that can ultimately save junior college football in Maricopa County.
Good stuff there, Ralph. Appreciate you jumping on board via Skype. Thanks.
Thank you.
There's Ralph Amston with us, Arizona Varsity publisher. Good friend of the show. He can come back anytime with the kids there. I love that. Brock Purdy's decision, it's down to two schools. I've got some thoughts on that and a few other things in my mind after this timeout. All right, before we get out of here, tomorrow is National Letter of Intent Day. It's a day that we follow closely year-round, actually, on this site and on this daily show because the football scene never stops, pro, college, high school. That's what we do. And we do other sports as well, but I think on the college and high school and Letter of Intent Day, we see an enormous amount of people come into the site wanting content and information. Brock Purdy is going to announce tomorrow morning, and you will see it right here at 10:30, what he is going to be doing. It is between Texas A&M and Iowa State. I can go into a long, long, long diatribe about why it's not Arizona or Arizona State, which is what people always ask about when somebody leaves here. And I may get into that tomorrow, but for today, because of time constraints, I went a little long there with Ralph. Brock's going to decide between Texas A&M and Iowa State. He's already decided where he's going to go. And I'm very much looking forward to how he handles tomorrow because this has been a stressful deal for him. I have poured a lot of my personal time in on this story because I felt it was a wrong for him to not be given the national attention that he had deserved and the recruitment that he deserved. Just because he was a little short didn't mean anything to me. And what do you know? By the end of it, he's got Alabama and Texas A&M. He's sitting there with Nick Saban. He's sitting there with Jimbo Fisher. So anybody who didn't get on him early was like, what are you guys doing? And that story will be a case study of the crazy part of recruiting. Drayson Hall is meeting with us this afternoon, and he's going to announce his decision tomorrow morning. We are doing something with him today on that. So tomorrow there'll be all sorts of interviews that you'll see on the site, here on the stream show, that involve more than just the college. It'll be the high school day. There'll be a lot of that tomorrow. It's a fun day. Kevin Sumlin speaks tomorrow. Herm Edwards is tomorrow at 2 p.m. He'll talk about his class. I always joke that Letter of Intent Day from the college coaches is, these guys are the greatest ever. We can't believe we got them. That's how it used to be under Todd Graham. Rich was a little ambivalent, Rich Rod on recruiting. So I'm interested to see how Sumlin and Herm handle it tomorrow. I just would once like to see a coach saying this guy can't play dead, but he's coming here anyways. I know they're not going to and shouldn't poke fun at it, but it's just the lunacy sometimes of Letter of Intent Day. A lot of these kids don't work out, but we'll have that for you tomorrow on the show. Jared Nielsen's our chairman of the board. Eric Sorensen, as always, takes care of business. He is Senior Executive Vice President of Everything, Jordan Hamm, Haley Stasiak, our interns in today as well. Appreciate all their help and their support. Check us out over online at sports360az.com. If you're watching us on AZ Central, you can head over to our website as well, sports360az.com. We appreciate our partnership with the people at AZ Central Sports. Have a great day.